We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
There's an underlying theme maybe to today would be that God takes broken things and makes, heals them. He does that. And if you think that you wonder why certain things have happened in your life, and I wouldn't dare to say that it's because God did it to you, or you deserved it, or you sinned. You know, sometimes that's the result of, sometimes there are consequences to those things, but sometimes it's just a fallen world we live in, and things happen. The beautiful thing about that is that God takes brokenness and he makes us whole. And that's just the way he does things. That's just who he is. And because of that, we can never lose. We always win with God. And one day we will win forever, thankfully. Hopefully it'll be soon. And very soon we will go and see our King. Say amen. You know, I don't think that it's, we can get ready. You guys ready? I don't think we've given our ladies enough affection yet. So could you guys bring up some gifts for you? We have some more gifts for you. You can start in the front and then go to the back. We love you very much, and we want you to know if you're not a sugar person, then you can pass this on to your mom, and you can act like you made it for them, and that'll be great. But I want to thank two people today. I want to thank, first of all, I want to thank, her name is Kathy Spinelli. Where is she at? She's right here. Kathy Spinelli had, 43 years ago or so, a cute little girl named Shocky. That's what they used to call her, Cynthia Spinelli. And so I want to thank Kathy for having Cynthia, because she is an awesome wife. Give Kathy a big hand right now. I call her, I don't know what you call your mother-in-laws, but I call her. That's what we call her. And she knows it. She goes, you call me her, because when I talk to her, I don't always say, hey, Mom. I just go, are we going to the Cheddar's after church? You know, I don't address her, and maybe I should more, but that's what I call her. I don't know what you call your mother-in-law. But sometimes they get a bad rap, and maybe they deserve it. But I have not had one bad experience with my mother-in-law. She's been amazing, and she helped us put up these chocolate-covered strawberries together. She taught Cynthia all these kind of things that she does. You're a great caterer. You're a great... I don't know if you're a great singer. You're a great tennis player, but you're a really great mom. And so, and I also want to say the same to many of you. Dr. Dobson said, moms spend 50% of their energy on their job, 50% on their husband, and 50% on their children. I think you see the problem, right? You get it, 50 plus 50. Yeah, there's not that much. They don't have enough to give, and we honor you today. I want to say, if you have been born to a mom, I want you to raise your hand if you're here. Many of you. Yes, see? You see my point, and today is so important. Fathers, I guess, have a big part, too, but, man, mothers do, too. And my mom couldn't be here today. But she's taught me many things as well, and I want to bring up one of those that she taught me about understanding God and how he thinks of me. And it's one of the simplest ideas, but it can relate to all of us. And it's just simply, God is good to me. Every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, we'd come to Sunday school, and the first thing we'd have is our opening assembly in the sanctuary, and she would lead the songs. And one of the songs she sang was, God is Good. It was a It was called a Native American Sign Language song, and we would raise our hand and request songs. And I remember requesting, "Oh, sing God is good to me," because I loved doing the motions of it. God, it's very simple. God is good to me. He holds my hand. He helps me stand. God is good to me. And that truth has stayed with me. And I want to say, this has become part of my belief, and it helps me get through life's challenges. And before we go on, I want to speak to you. If you are a mom, stepmom, birth mom, adoptive mom, spiritual mom, or mom in your heart, know that you are to be honored this day and reminded that you have one of the highest callings and most appreciated roles on this earth. And today, if it is a hard day, hear that truth my mom taught me. God, my God, and you could say it like this when you get personal, my Heavenly Father is a good God. If you are sad, I wrote this down because I wanted to say it right. If you are sad, hurt, bitter, indifferent about your upbringing, maybe you didn't like your mom, where your life is gone, maybe you don't like who you are as a woman thus far, know God is a good God, and He always desires to make beautiful things out of brokenness. Would you look in your Bibles or look on the screen? I'm going to read a lengthy passage for you. It's found in Proverbs 31. It is a portrait of a mom, of a lady, of a wife, of a woman, of a person who is noble, for that matter. And it says this, every place that it shows a descriptive, put yourself in that place, even if you are a man in this room today, Seth. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. I'm going to continue to read, and don't glaze away, because very rarely do you take a moment and read Proverbs 31, and it's very important. It is a very informative and insightful passage. I want to just remind you to eyes up here. That's what I used to say in Sunday school. Eyes up here. Make sure to read there with me. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. Don't make jokes. This is the ideal here. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. Many of these things are figurative, and I'm going to try to take this from the view of a elementary student kid to explain what this means, but let's continue. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arm to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household. She shovels the snow. Oh, she shovels it. For all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. That's a good one. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Would you bow your heads? Lord, we love you today. We thank you that you set the bar so high that we never serve you and think, oh, I'm not achieving everything that I've been called to do. If there are things that we feel that we could never do, it's probably because you have called us to it. If we are here today and we feel like, oh, I can do everything I am doing right now, then we probably aren't listening to you and what you might be calling us to do even deeper, even greater, even stronger. In Jesus' name, I pray that you would anoint this time, anoint the remainder of our time together, and you would speak to our hearts through your power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody smile. Everybody smile. That is the portrait of a woman, of a wife, of a mother. I want to show you a portrait of my mom. She's so beautiful. There she is. You can take that down. My mom has a sense of humor, and often she's proud of that picture. She's like, it is the ugliest picture, but I have to send it to you. And she sends it to me every Mother's Day. But I've been privileged to have a great mom and mother-in-law and wife, as well as I've explained already. But I want to give you three reasons why moms, and maybe you could even say ladies, are the most talented, most best invention that God has ever created. And they're all based on Proverbs 31. And I want to boil them down to three things that maybe a kid wouldn't understand. And number one, I gave it away. Moms are talented. Can I hear it? Amen. There is something about ladies that is different than men. And one of those things is that they are multitasked. They can do more than one thing at once. When we're driving in the car and I'm with my wife, if she's driving, which often lately she's been doing, and maybe you were here and we talked about it, you have to hear a podcast, why she's been driving more lately, but it's because I'm not the best multitasker, and it almost immediately, every time I start driving, someone calls, I have to answer, and my mind goes somewhere else. It does. I don't know if any of you other men are this way, but my wife can. Ladies can do this. She can drive, she can talk on the phone, and she can actually focus on the road at the same time, which I can't do. And she can make chocolate-covered strawberries while she's driving. Yeah, you wouldn't believe what she can do. But something about women that's just in their DNA that I think they're smarter. I think they probably are smarter. No women power here. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. But I believe they're smarter. If you're a boy and you're thinking about getting a girlfriend, or if you're anywhere in that vicinity, just know that. Just surrender to it. Maybe you're really smart. My son Noah is one of the smartest people I've ever met. Riley's actually a little bit smarter than him. He gets better grades. Noah gets better grades than Riley. But if you ever get a girlfriend, Noah, just know, don't act like you're the smartest, because you might be smart in some ways, but it just won't work out good for you. Cooking. I don't want to stereotype, but most girls are good at cooking. Memory. I don't know what's wrong with my memory sometimes, but oh man, Cynthia corrects me 9 times every hour about something I said wrong that I have the wrong memory about, and she's always right, and I've learned to just deal with it, that it just works. They're right. Science, math, and history projects, women always are better at them. And I want to read you a poem today. Maybe you relate with this. Some of you moms, I want to honor you or actually relate with you, because it's tough. I know it's tough. And it says this. Now it's a mom's prayer. Would you pray this with me today? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my sanity to keep. For if some peace I do not find, I'm pretty sure I'll lose my mind. I pray I find a little quiet, far from the family riot. May I lie back and not have to think about what they're stuffing down the sink, or who they're with, or where they're at, and what they're doing to the cat. I pray for time all to myself. Did something just fall off the shelf? To cuddle in my nice soft bed. Oh no, another goldfish dead. some silent moments, for goodness sakes, did I just hear a window break? And that I need not cook or clean, well, heck, I've got the right to dream. Yes, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my wits about me keep. But as I look around, I know I must have lost them long ago. And we will pray for you. Moms can do anything, and this leads me to point number two. Why moms are the best invention God ever made, and this is why. Moms welcome us home. There's something synonymous about the term home is where the heart is when it comes to moms. They have a way of affection that men don't have. They have a way of showing warmth. They have a way of bringing structure. I don't know if any of you men need to repent today, but if you ever had kids or if they're still at home, when mom is gone, you might be the best dad there is, and I think I'm pretty good. But structure just isn't there like it is when mom is home. We go out, we eat places that we shouldn't eat, we go to movies, we do all kinds, it's just not there. Moms welcome us home. And I don't want to belabor that more, but it leads me to my last point, and this is what I want to challenge all of us with. And this is this: moms point us to Jesus. I want to read a scripture to you. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I don't know where your mom fits into this, and I'm going to apply it to everyone, even if your mom did not do this. But mom should point us to home. And this says this. Let me ask you if you recognize this. If you've been in church any amount of time, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but see if you recognize this verse. And then I want to talk about it. For this reason, you're like, how does this relate with moms? But listen, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. That verse in my life was actually a life verse. I used that all through my teenage years, that I needed to fan into flame the gift that God put in me. Timothy was one of the most successful, it's funny to say it that way, but one of the most successful disciples. He wasn't one of the 12, but later he was really an apostle who did a lot of courageous things in the church. If you read the histories of the church, Timothy was an amazing guy. He was an amazing guy. But he was timid at first, which means that he was a little nervous, a little shy, not ready. But there was something that was put in him long ago. And I want to read the context of this. This is 1 Timothy 1, chapter, verse 6, but I want to read 1 through 5 for you. And it says this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, listen, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the way they started their letters. Is this the way you write, Paul, when you write a letter? I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Are you ready? Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Are you ready? I am reminded of where your faith came, your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandma, Lois. Everybody say Lois. Lois is a Bible name, all right? And was in your mom, Eunice. Everybody say Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also, Timothy. So I am reminded to fan into flame the gift that God gave you through your mom and through your grandma. Give it up for his grandma and his mom. They pointed Timothy to Jesus. And if you're looking for advice today in any way, and you could only have one piece of advice, there is only one thing you could do as a mom or as a person. If there was one thing, do what Eunice did. Do what Lois did for Eunice. Point someone in the right direction. Can I hear an amen? You can't make someone serve Jesus. Are you listening? But you can point them in the right direction. Here's a question for all of you to ask yourselves. And Nate, would you come forward at this time? I want you to ask this question to yourself. How am I going to point someone, or if you have kids in your life, aren't serving Jesus, how am I going to point my kids towards Jesus? Well, you don't know. You don't know me. You don't know what I've tried to do. I've done this. I've done this. I've done this. I'm not telling you that you failed in how where they're serving right now, but how can you just point them in the right direction? I would venture to say some of you have already done your job. Rest assured, you have done your job. You have pointed them in the right direction. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit does his job if we do our job. I have a brother who is not as sweet as me. I can say that because he's not here. It's his birthday yesterday. I texted him, and I didn't tell him I was going to say this, and I just thought of it right now, but he had a time in his life. He was a pastor and a worship leader, a worship pastor at a church, and he was a youth pastor. In that time, I thought, he's never going to serve Jesus again. He'll never be in heaven. But my mom did the same thing as she did to me, she did to him. She pointed him in the right direction. And when it came down to it, my brother today, it was probably 10, 15 years later, he came back to Jesus. And he serves Jesus today, and he's leading worship right now at a church, probably right now during this moment. And I watch his live stream often to see how he's doing. But I want to ask you today, how are you going to point your kids, or how are you going to point someone in your family towards Jesus today? Not tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. Some of us know that, right? Yesterday is past. It's over. You only have today. How are you going to point someone towards Jesus today? Related to our families, I would think would be the most important, because no one cares about your family like you do. And about your aunts and your uncles and your cousins and your kids. Moms show us how to point our people towards Jesus. They show it with their love. And there's nothing like an unconditional love of a mom that teaches us what love, what sacrificial love really is. Often others will give up or stop believing or get distracted. But moms rarely get distracted, rarely give up. Reminds me of something else, and it's probably the most important thing we celebrate on Mother's Day. And it's a similar love to a mom, but much deeper, much greater. It's not a mom's love, it's a father's love. And it's not your father's love on earth, it's your father's love in heaven. And I want you to bow your heads with me right now. I want to say a prayer of thanks to my Heavenly Father. I want to say to you, Father God, thank you for my life. You are good to me. You hold my hand. You help me stand. My God is good to me. I thank you that you never leave me. You never forsake me. And I pray for every person here. If they have been forsaken, if someone's not been good to them in their past, that they would understand and realize it is the same love for all of us that God has. Our Heavenly Father has the same love for us, and we receive your love today, Jesus. We receive the love of your Father, God, today. Let me ask you one last question. Where do you enter? This is kind of a confusing question at first, but listen. Where do you enter the story of a mom? Has your mother showed you a good example that points you to love Jesus, that shows you God's love? Or did your mother not give you any reason to serve God. Maybe it has nothing to do with your mom, but did somewhere along the way, did you decide that Father God would not be in your story? When I look across this room, I'm pretty sure that most of us know the Father God's love for us. But if there's any reason that you've kept him out of your story, I want to remind you today on Mother's Day that there is a love even greater than a mother, and it is your Father's love for you. I'm here to say your Father, God, wants a relationship with you. And although this isn't an altar call message, I want to just take a moment right now. And if you're here and you need to make a new commitment to Jesus, who wants to forgive you of your sins, and you want to bridge the gap between you and Father God, it comes through Jesus. Jesus died for your sins so that your Father God could have a relationship with you. That's about as simple as it gets. And if you don't have a relationship with your Father God today, you come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I want to be a part of your family. I need the love of my Father in my life. If you're here today and that is you, you just acknowledge that to God right now. I'm just going to give you a moment. You acknowledge it to God. Talking to everyone in the room. Say, God, I need you. God, I need you. I'll say a couple last remarks. Maybe your story about your mother entails hurt or regret or sadness or something less than a feeling of love. I've met people who hate to go to church on Mother's Day because it leaves a bad feeling that they'd rather forget. But today, as we close, I want you to, I know that I can't help you make amends with your mothers on this earth. I know that I can't help you get rid of bitterness or get rid of regret or get rid of condemnation for maybe something you've done or they've done to you. Maybe you feel unworthy today, and I'm not just talking to ladies, I'm talking to all the men too. You feel like, I am not cut out to do anything because of something that happened in my past. Let me tell you today, your past does not dictate what God is going to do in your future. And if you're here today, I know I said I can't help you, but the Holy Spirit can help you. And he's speaking to hearts right now. He's speaking to your spirit right now. He's speaking to your soul right now. And he can cover a multitude of hurts, a multitude of unforgiveness. He can cover with his love. There's something supernatural about God's love. Would you just at least make a step towards that right now if you're experiencing any of those things I talked about against your mom or against another person or just against yourself? Say to Father God right now, I receive a love that covers a multitude of sins, a multitude of hurts. I feel like I need to take one step with this further with everybody's eyes closed, and you're here and you just say, could you help me? I'm not going to point you out, but I just want to see your hand. Can you help me? You're saying, can you help me get over these things? I will agree with you, and we are going to believe that the Father God is going to do that today. Is there anyone that just needs help with that? The power of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, amen. Anybody else? Amen, amen. All of us need help. Would you say this with me? Say, Heavenly Father. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, we're finished. I come before you in Jesus' name. I thank you for a love that covers everything. Cover my hurts. Cover my regrets. Cover my shortcomings. Thank you for your love. I receive it today in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with one song.
I rarely stop thinking about music. I'm always dancing, listening to music, and playing. And very occasionally I write songs. And while I was at the hospital, you know, waiting on the Lord, waiting on my mom, I wrote a song. And it came to me like that, and the only explanation I can figure out for it is that it was God. And, you know, music's kind of a soft spot for me when it comes to my mom, because I didn't really take the opportunity to play her music, at least not very often. And she may have heard me through the walls in my bedroom playing some weird rock and roll or just singing worship songs. But yeah, this is definitely special to me. From my sin and filled me with your love. You've risen again. You are my King. And sing that with me today. And hallelujah, God, you are my King. And hallelujah, God, you are my King. Accept that into your hearts today. And hallelujah, God, you are my King. And hallelujah, God, you are holy.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.